Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
A breakfast episode today. We taste some citrus fruits, pour a cup of coffee, and then belly up to a warm bowl of oats. But first, here's Luann Johnson with a look at this week's news.
In an effort to fight foodborne illnesses, the USDA has just announced tougher food safety rules for chicken and turkey farms. While 20% of carcasses could test positively for salmonella and 40% for campylobacter by old rules, now companies are required to have no greater than 7.5% and 10% of the carcasses test positive. The Food and Safety Inspection Service estimates that the new standards will prevent 25,000 illnesses each year. Last week, First Lady Michelle Obama and some elementary school children got their hands dirty in the White House garden, planting spinach, peas, blueberries, and some herbs. Now that the seeds have been planted for the year, what's her next project? Writing a book. Crown Publishing, a division of Random House, has given Mrs. Obama a book deal to write about the White House garden, her Let's Move campaign, and her family's favorite recipes. According to The Guardian, the First Lady said she was partly influenced by a pediatrician who expressed concern about the diet of the Obama children, Malia and Sasha, who were brought up in Chicago on processed fast foods. The book will be out in April 2012, and profits will be donated to a yet-to-be-determined charity. And, in response to all the flack it receives in regards to contributing to the obesity epidemic, the soda industry has worked hard to show consumers it is concerned about public health. The American Beverage Association donated $10 million to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to fund research on childhood obesity through a newly created organization, the Foundation for a Healthy America. Similarly, Coca-Cola recently funded the North Carolina School of Public Health's campaign against childhood obesity. The campaign's apparently unironical slogan, "Everything in Moderation." For more news updates like this, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Luann Johnson.
Plate of fruit.
Plate of fruit, and these are citrus, all different citrus. These are miniolas, and you can cut, they've kind of gotten a little outy belly button on them. Then you've got a tangerine. This is a Meyer lemon. You can see it's a little bit different. It's less wrinkly. It's kind of smooth on the exterior than the normal lemon. And it's got a much sweeter flesh. And you can actually eat the peel of this.
Really?
So it's really good. What kind of orange do you think this is?
Navel.
Navel. Because you see, it has a little navel on it. Then we've got the grapefruit. And then we've got a pomelo, which is kind of an Asian grapefruity citrus fruit. Then we have the key lime and the regular lime. Key limes tend to be a little bit sweeter. A lot of times they'll be almost yellow, and they're much smaller than the regular lime. So let's cut a couple of these open and look at them. This is the miniola, so you can have a little taste of that.
Looks like an orange to me. And that's nice.
Okay.
It's awfully orangey.
Right. And this is the tangerine.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's a different flavor.
Sure. I'm a big fan of tangerines.
Okay, and then we've got the regular navel orange, and you'll probably find this a little bland compared to the other ones.
Wow, sure enough.
Right?
So after the first one was...
That was the miniola. Yeah, that's real, real sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to have you taste a little lemon.
I know your tricks, Daniel Orr.
Okay, but then I'm going to have you taste the Meyer lemon after that. Isn't that, I mean, that's real puckery.
Woo!
Okay, now try the Meyer lemon.
I could see eating that.
Yeah. Okay, and then now what I want you to do is to actually take a bite of the peel.
Oh.
It's a very intense flavor.
Now,
what a lot of people do is they just go ahead and throw away the grapefruit skin or the orange peels. You can also make candies out of it. The French do candied orange and citrus peels where you blanch it in several turns of water so you get rid of a lot of that bitterness, and then you cook it down in a very thick sugar syrup, and then finally, you know, when they cool down, you can toss them in some granulated sugar, and they're great to serve with coffee after dinner.
And we're wasting so much less if you actually use this.
I heard you didn't like grapefruit. So today we're going to come up with a grapefruit dish that hopefully you will like. Kind of like a grapefruit brulee. So basically all we do is we'll cut the grapefruit in half, and this is the ruby red grapefruit, which tend to be sweeter than a normal grapefruit. Cut this around the peel, so you're just doing kind of a circle, just kind of releasing the grapefruit from the peel, but leaving it inside. And then if you want to be fancy, you can go through and cut between each one of those little segments, and that will really make it easy to eat if you have a grapefruit spoon. All right, so then what we do is we take a little brown sugar. We're going to just kind of coat this with the brown sugar and then put it up under the broiler. If you have one of those little blow torches, you can also just use a little blow torch on it, and you want it to caramelize. All right, so I'm going to just go put it up under the broiler. I'll have Chef Bob watch it for me until it gets nicely brown.
Yes, Chef.
Yeah, who would have thought to broil a grapefruit?
I know.
Well, let me ask you, so who thought to broil a grapefruit?
My mom used to always make this for us. And it was a way to get kids to eat grapefruit. So,
so you're like a kid.
You know what? I'm fine with that.
And then we'll, as that cooks, we're going to go over and look at this last of the citrus fruits. And this is the pomelo. Okay, and this has a real thick rind.
And it's sort of a yellowy green, sort of looks like a mix between an orange and a lime, that sort of color.
Mm-hmm. Now see, it looks like a grapefruit, pretty much. And you can see it has a lot of pith, but I'm going to cut it and show you how they use it in Thailand. You take the meat apart and you break little pieces of it, and you toss this in salads. And it's great with peanuts and fish sauce. Okay, so you get all these little pieces. And go ahead and give that a taste. It's like a mild grapefruit, but it has a kind of juicier pods.
I taste the hint of what I hate in grapefruits in there, but it's mild.
And it has
enough
a sweeter finish, too.
Definitely.
Grapefruit, a lot of times, especially the white grapefruit, has a bitter finish to it.
That's delicious.
How are we doing there, Chef? All right, and we're going to make this little broiled grapefruit into something a little more adult. I've got some griotine, which are brandied French cherries. They're seedless sour cherries in a sugar brandy syrup. All right, I'm just going to put this in the serving dish. We'll put a few of these cherries on top, maybe just a little touch of the liquid, and that's it. That's our wonderful broiled grapefruit, and it'll make a grapefruit lover out of even the most timid of citrus people.
Okay, I'm keeping an open mind. Well, it's more palatable. Still not my favorite. But those cherries, woo! These are really delicious. And I like how it's a little bit warm.
Mm-hmm.
It's tasty for someone who likes grapefruit.
Yeah. Well, it's an old-timey dish. And I think a lot of people in the Midwest have grown up with this.
You can see photos of all these citrus fruits, read the process for preparing the grapefruit brulee, write a comment about what you think. We're basically offering everything but the taste on our website, eartheats.org. For a lot of folks out there, breakfast starts with coffee. In fact, 54% of Americans drink coffee every day. That's according to the National Coffee Association. And those folks don't stop at just one cup. They're drinking an average of 3 cups per day.
There's just something about coffee that it makes it one of those simple pleasures. You know, I don't know why it's good, but it's good.
That's Jamie Shepard, the owner and roaster of B-Town Beans here in Bloomington, Indiana.
I believe I have 17 different origins right now, from pretty much every growing region, all certified organic. I have probably the largest organic offering that anybody in their right mind would have.
For coffee to be certified organic, every step of the process, from the growing to the selling, has to be inspected. No chemicals, no pesticides. But I asked him if, say, the everyday coffee drinker can really tell the difference between organic and non-organic coffee.
If you look at whether organic coffee is, let's say, because I've been asked this before, a better tasting cup, I can't give you an answer that I'd like to give you. I can't tell you, yes, organic coffee tastes better than non-organic coffee. That's not necessarily true.
But it's really not about the taste, he said. It's more about the environmental impact of the coffee, especially in the growing regions. In addition to being certified organic, B-Town Beans also offers fair trade coffee. That's something that's become increasingly popular in the past 10 years or so. Fair trade guarantees farmers a minimum price for their product. But as Shepard said, it's not just a financial thing.
But it also helps to improve working conditions in farms in the various countries. Fair trade helps eliminate some of the middlemen, so more of the money returns to the farmers. fair trade farmers are given a degree of autonomy to determine how to invest these revenues. They can turn them back into their business to make it more productive. So, and they even get rewarded for organic production.
For Shepard, it's all about the bigger picture. He tries to keep an eye on the impact his business has on the local community, as well as the larger environmental impact.
I guess my opinion, belief in sustainability is that its foundation is ethics, whether it's ethics of social practices or environmental practices. It's just really the hub of it all. We want to be a contributor. We don't want to just be a taker. And really, that's why we formed the business.
You can find out more about B-Town Beans on our website, eartheats.org. And while you're at it, send us an email and tell us how you take your coffee, eartheats@gmail.com. From fruit to coffee, and now to oatmeal.
This is steel-cut oats, and they take a lot longer to cook. And a lot of people, a lot of times, it will stick to the bottom of the pan. You know, you're there in the morning, and it takes 45 minutes to cook, so you don't have time. So I'm going to show you an easy way. What we do here is I have got a pan on. I'm going to put a little bit of oil in the pan, and then add about half a cup of oats, depending on how many people you're cooking for. And what we're going to do is just toast those a little bit. Well, what this does is it brings out kind of a nutty, smoky flavor. And you want them just to get a little bit brown and start to smoke a little bit. And they'll taste much more kind of nutty and smoky. Okay, so we let these toast. We're going to cover them with about an inch of water. All right, we're going to bring that back to the fire, bring that up to a boil. While we're waiting for that to boil, we're going to add some orange zest. And that's going to bring a little more intrigue and mystery to your oats. And once it boils, I'm going to add just a little bit of vanilla. Now, you want it to boil first because if you add this right now, a lot of the flavor will just go up into the air. So we're going to bring that to a boil. And the great thing about this recipe is you do it the night before. You just do this, you leave it on the stove overnight, and your steel-cut oats will be perfect in the morning. All right, so we've come to a full boil here. I'm going to add just about a teaspoon of vanilla, give it a good stir, bring it back to a rolling boil, and then just turn off the heat. And that's all there is to cooking breakfast. All right, so I've got some that I've already done the night before. And what I like about these steel-cut oats is they kind of have this little crunch and pop in your mouth, whereas the rolled oats just kind of taste like wallpaper paste.
Oh.
You know, so I really like these. So to finish this off, I'm going to put just a little bit of brown sugar. And then I've toasted some pecans. When you toast them, what that does is it brings out some of the moisture and intensifies the flavor of the nut and gives them a little extra crunch. We can put just a little more orange zest on top just so you can see that. And you don't need a lot of sugar and stuff when you have those extra flavors of the vanilla and the orange peel in there. They kind of make it an automatically appealing breakfast.
Serve this with some yogurt, clotted cream, or whatever suits your fancy in the morning. Write a comment on our website to let us know how you liked this recipe. Or if you're a devout rolled oats lover and want to send us some complaints, go right ahead. I'll forward those along to Chef Orr. eartheats.org, or send us an email, eartheats@gmail.com.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.